Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel Vodmir. Shabbat Chazak. We close the book of Bereishis, which I feel like we just started. And now we are already closing the book of Bereishis. So let us get right into our learning. Nothing mean Yanni Dioma. Yomim Tovim on the calendar for a little while. Last week we spoke about Asar B'Tevis, and we connected it to Yosef and the brothers. Let us get right into our learning. So I want to focus on two passages, which will be the point of departure and point of exploration for our shiur today, which will be based first on a piece by Rav Salvechik Zatzal, and then based on a piece by the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, two tremendous thinkers and Talmidei Chachamim of our time. So we are beginning in Parak Memchas, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, so what happens in the beginning of Vayechi, it's of course the conclusion of the story of Yosef, his brothers, and Yaakov's family, which begin in Parak Lamed Zayin and Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef has become viceroy. There has been a great reunion. The brothers and Yaakov and their families are living in the land of Goshen. Yosef is providing for everybody. In Parshas Vayechi, what we have is the death of Yaakov Avinu. But before his death, he instructs Yosef not to bury him in Egypt, but to bury him with his fathers in the land of Canaan, the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. That request is fulfilled. We have Yaakov blessing Ephraim and Manasseh with two very famous brachos, Amalcha Goel and Yisim Chalokim. Perek Mem Tes is the blessings, the Birkas Yaakov, the beautiful blessings that he gave each of the Shvatim before his death. Perek Nun is the death of Yaakov with the burial of Yaakov, and then the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. And the book of Bereishis ends with Yosef's death at the age of 110. So we are just going to look at two passages of Psukim, beginning in Parak Mem Ches, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 48, verse 1. If you don't have a chumash and you just want to listen, that's fine also. Vayihi acharei hadvarim ha'ela, it was after these things. So the first passage that we know, the first four Psukim of the Sedra, tell us about Yaakov's request of Yosef. Actually, he makes Yosef take an oath. He makes Yosef swear that he will not bury him in Egypt. He will bury him in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. He will lay eternally with his fathers, which is exactly what Yosef makes the Bnei Yisrael. Vayashba Yosef es Bnei Yisrael. So Yaakov makes Yosef take an oath. Yishavali. Yosef makes the Bnei Yisrael as a collective. Of course, his brothers will not be alive by the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, but he makes the collective of the Bnei Yisrael take an oath as well. Vayashba Shvu'ah Yosef at Bnei Yisrael, Pekodiv Korol Kimeschem. So the Sedra begins and ends with the book ends of the importance and the chashivus of Eretz Yisrael. Let us look at Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Aleph, please. Vayihi, we're just going to go through Perek Mem Ches quickly, actually the whole Perek, but we're just really looking at the pshat of the Psukim. Vayihi acharei hadvarim ha'ela, was after these things, and it was said to Yosef, behold, your father is sick. Remember, Yosef is in the palace, wherever in the Egyptian, you know, Shushan Habira, the capital city in Egypt proper, the metropolis where he is running the country, and his family lives in a suburb called Goshen. So it was after these things, and it was told to Yosef, behold, your father is sick. And v'yikach ha'shnei banav imo, he took his two sons with him, es Menashe ve'es Ephraim. Vayegeli Yaakov, and it was told to Yaakov, Vayomer, and it was said, Hinei bincha Yosef ba'elacha, behold, your son Yosef has come to you. Vayishchazek Yisrael, and Israel strengthened himself. Vayeshev alamita, and he sits himself up. So he's sick, we just read that he's sick, but he strengthens himself, and Yaakov says to Yosef, Kel Shakai appeared to me, and Luz is referring all the way back to the beginning of his journey. Luz is where he had his famous dream in the land of Canaan, and God blessed me, and he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful, I will increase you, I will make you an assembly of nations, I will give you this land into your seed after you as an eternal holding. And now your two sons, Va'ata, Shnei Vanecha Hanodim L'cha Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and now your two sons who have been born to you in the land of Egypt, he's referring to these boys who Yaakov brings, Manasseh and Ephraim, at Bowie Eilacha Mitzrayima, until I came to you to Egypt, Lihem, they are mine. So Yaakov Avinu confers a status of Shvatim upon Manasseh and Ephraim. Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruvain v'Shimon. Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuven and Shimon. So if Reuven and Shimon are the two tribes, the first and the second, so now Ephraim and Manasseh are also like Shvatim, because in the Minyan Ha'aretz, when they divide the land for Chiluk Ha'aretz, Yosef is taken out and Levi is taken out. So that leaves 10 tribes, but there are 12 tribes. So who do we put instead of Levi and Yosef? Manasseh and Ephraim. They are like Reuven, Shimon, Yuli, and any progeny that you have after them, they are yours. They will go with their brothers in terms of the division of the land. So it's only Manasseh. If you, Yosef, shall have other children, they will get an inheritance with their brothers Manasseh and Ephraim. But Manasseh and Ephraim are to me like Reuven and Shimon. And then he says, and as for me, when I was coming back from Padan Aram, Rachel died upon me in the land of Canaan. There was a beres of land left to go to Ephras, and I buried her there on the way to Ephras, which is Beis Lechem. And Yisrael, Vayar Yisrael's Bnei Yosef. So you see a lot of focus here on Yaakov with Ephraim and Manasseh. First, Yosef is so many names. Yaakov, Yosef, Yisrael. Okay, Baruch Hashem. First, Yosef is told your father is sick. He, on his own initiative, takes his two sons with him. That's what the pasuk says. Vayikach shnei banav imo. He, Yosef, at his own initiative, takes Manasseh and Ephraim with him. And then when he comes, Yaakov starts to speak to Yosef, and after he tells him of the promises God to make him to him in Luz, he immediately starts to talk about Ephraim and Manasseh. And Pasuk Hey, he, Yaakov, on his deathbed, is speaking about the status of his grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh. They are like Reuven and Shimon. They will get Chiluk Ha'aretz. And then he talks about Rachel's death, and there was a beres of land left to go to Ephras, and I buried her there on the way to Ephras, which is Beis Lechem. Pasuk Ches, and Yisrael sees the sons of Yosef, more focus on Yaakov / Yisrael on the sons of Yosef. Vayomer, and he said, Mi Eilas, or Rashi says, he saw in Ruach HaKodesh, Rishayim in the future who would come. But the Pshat is, he says, he's old and he's sick, and he says to his, we know that, the Pesukim tell us that, and he says to his son, who are these? And Yosef says to his fathers, Banayim, they are my sons, Asher Nasani Elokim Bazah, that God gave me with this. He showed him a star, ksuba, and he says, Kachem na elai va'avarchim, bring them close to me, and I want to bless them. The Ein Yisrael kavdu mizoken, Israel's eyes are heavy from old age. He could not see, and he brought them close, vayishak lahem, vayichabek lahem. He kisses them. He, Yaakov, kisses Manasseh and Ephraim, and he, Yaakov, hugs Manasseh and Ephraim. Vayom Yisrael al Yosef, and Yisrael says to Yosef, ra'ah panecha lo fi lilti. Fi lalti, to see your face, I never would have believed I would see it again. Vihine herausi elokim gamet zaracha. Not only am I seeing your face, which I never thought I would see, but I am seeing your children. When my family lived in Israel for a sabbatical year, when I was in ninth grade, it was the 1990-1991 school year. Could you hear in the back? Yeah, because no one's ever complained. One person, Patty's saying definitely yes, one person a couple of months ago told me you need to use a microphone, and she wasn't sitting so far back, so I just want to make sure. I mean, I assume that if people can't hear that, I would have known about it a long time ago. Okay, fine. Also, for some reason you can't, there's room here, so you could always move closer. Okay, so when we were in Israel for the 1991 school year, it was the year of the Gulf War, I was in ninth grade, my grandfather came to Israel by Shavuos time. And my grandmother had passed away. They were all Holocaust survivors, my grandparents, the beginning of that year. My grandfather came for Shavuos, and we went to the Kotel. I don't know, it must have been like Shavuos morning, or was it Birka Kohanim? I was in ninth grade, but I remember, and he saw all the Jews there, and he said, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? He, in the Holocaust, lost his first wife and his three daughters. The reason I know their names is because it's on his matzeva. Golda, Leah, and Ita, my paternal, three of my grandparents were married. My paternal grandfather had three children, Golda, Leah, and Ita, and I only know because it's on the caver. Says, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? Yaakov Avinu says, I didn't even imagine seeing you. Not only am I seeing you, I'm seeing your children. Vayotze Yosef Osem Me'im Birkav, Yosef takes him. It's a very moving and very beautiful scene. Sometimes we focus so much on the words of the bracha, which are also important, without focusing on the context of what's actually happening here. And Yosef takes him from his knee, and he bows down with his face, he prostrates to the ground, and Yosef takes both of them, Ephraim in his right hand to the left of Yisrael, Manasseh in his left hand to the right of Israel. He comes close, Israel switches his hands, I don't want to talk about that right now, I spoke about it yesterday this year, and he blesses Yosef. Now, interesting, he blesses Yosef by blessing the children. The next pasuk says in pasuk Tesvav, Yivarech es Yosef. He blesses Yosef. But really, the greatest blessing to a parent is what? Blessing for their children. Because that's what happens here. Vayivarech es Yosef, Vayom, he blesses Joseph. Now, Yosef's bracha doesn't come till Perek Mem Tes, in Birkas Yaakov, Benotza Ada Ale Yeshur, Ale Ayin. Yosef is a son of beauty, girl stepped up to gaze, but here he talks about how he firmly implanted his bow, how he resisted Ashes Potivar, but really the first blessing to Yosef is a blessing to his children. Elokim asher yisalcho avasai, the fun of the God whom my forefathers walked before, I'm Avram and Yitzchak, the God who shepherds me from beginning till today, hamalach hago osimi kara yivrech es hanorim. So how do we understand if you're blessing Yosef, you're blessing your children? Because that's really the greatest blessing to any parent, to see their children be blessed. That's the longing, the hope, the dream, the tefillah of every single parent. The angel that protects me from all bad should bless these lads and call them in my name and the name of my fathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, and they should be many like fish. Fish are impervious to Ayin Hara. They are also very multiply a lot. I just thought something I never thought of before about fish. Why did he bless them like fish so they should not be susceptible to Ayin Hara? I just thought of something. Fish travel in a school. The lone fish is the one who will be eaten by the shark. There is strength in numbers. I just thought of something as I was really talking, which I never saw anywhere, but I'm sure it's brought down somewhere, and I never thought of. Maybe that's part of the bracha, which is a very unusual bracha, v'yidgu l'rav b'keretz arts, from the word dag. So it's famous that he blessed them to be like fish. Maybe part of the bracha is that he was saying that these children should give birth to a nation who will always have achdus, they will always travel together. Wherever we go in the vicissitudes of life, the ocean is a dangerous place. There are sharks, and there are baleen whales, and there are killer whales, and there are all kind of octopuses looking out for fish, and there are fishermen, and there are nets. There's all kinds of dangers, and there are penguins who go fishing, and the eagles from the sky. But if you stay together, if you stay connected, you are more likely to survive. It's the fish who swims away from the school, the one who stands alone, that is at the most danger of being eaten by predators. So maybe Yaakov is saying that the bracha here is that we should always have achdus. Just like fish swim together in a school, so too we should always make sure that we are together. The Jew who is alone, Vayivasar Yaakov Levado, Vayavek Yishima or Alas Shachar, the Das Zakenim Baal Tosfos actually says this. Das Zakenim Baal Tosfos at the end of Perek Lama Bey says, why was Yaakov susceptible to attack? Because he was left alone. He says the Bnei Yaakov left their father, and because Vayivasar Yaakov Levado, that's why the Sar Shal Esav says the Das Kanim was able to attack him. Look what happens when a Jew is left alone. So perhaps that's a nice idea. Why does he bless them like fish? Yes, so they should not, just like fish. Eino Sholei Baham Yetzer Hara. That's what Rashi says. Two things, which as I said in the beginning. Kedagim halalu shaparim virabim, like fish who multiply a lot. V'ein ayin hara sholetas baham. And there's no ayin hara. But perhaps a third reason is because he was saying that Jews should always travel together. You have to stick with your kind. You have to know where you belong. Don't be a yotzei min hakala. Al tof, what does Chazal say in Pirkei Avos? Al tifosh min hatzibur. Do not separate from the assembly. Tzibur standing for Tzadik Beinoni Urasha. We have to all stick together. And when we don't, that is when we are the weakest. And that is when the enemy can attack. Maybe that's the bracha of Yaakov, because he knew with Ruach HaKodesh that this was the beginning of Galus. B'ikesh Yaakov l'Galus etzakeitz, Perek Mem Tes, v'nista kamimeno. Yaakov wanted to tell them when the Geula, the redemption, the end of the Galus would come, and it was hidden from him. He knew in Ruach HaKodesh that this is the prophecy of Avram Avinu, Geri Yezarecha, Beretz Lo'ahem, V'avadu Vinu Osam, Arba Me'o Shana. So he knew we were going into a bitter Galus. Maybe he's teaching us the secret to survival in Galus. The secret to survival in Galus is v'yidgu la'rov. If you want to multiply like many, but care of arts in the midst of the land, learn from the fish. The fish, you know, you have different kinds of animals. Not all animals always travel together. Some are solitary, some only travel in a pair. But fish are notorious that they swim in a school. And that is important to Klal Yisrael, that you have to stick together. Okay? I think it's a very nice idea. I don't know, didn't see it brought down anywhere, but it makes a lot of sense. Yosef sees he switches his hand, which I don't want to go into at all, and Yosef says, not like this. And his father says, Yadati b'ni Yadati, I know my son, I know this will also be a great nation. Pasachof. And he blessed them on that day, saying, through you, Israel will be blessed. Elohim should place you, he shall make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So two very famous brachos. What is Hamalcha? Go all sung by Kol HaNa'arim, recited every night by the Kriya Shema, traditional tefillah for the protection of Klal Yisrael, and especially Tinokot Shel Beis Rabbanan, and also the Yisimcha Elokim Ve'Ephraim Kemenasha is the bracha that traditionally Jewish fathers transmit to their sons on Leil Shabbos. They both come from Yaakov Avinu, specifically blessing his grandchildren. He puts Ephraim before Menasha, and Yisrael says to Yosef, I am dying, Hashem will be with you, he will return you to the land of your fathers. This is exactly how Yosef dies. Yosef makes the same situation. We're going to look right in one pasuk, we're going to go to the end of the parak, end of the chumash, and we're going to see the parallels between how Yosef is nifter and how Yaakov prepares to be nifter. I've given you one extra portion over your brother Shechem Mamish. That is where Yosef is buried. That's to talk about, but not today. Says Targum Unkos, with my tefillah, bitzolosi. How did he take the Shechem Echad al Achecha? How did I take an extra portion from the hands of the Amorites? Becharbi, says Targum Unkos, bitzolosi, with my tefillah. That is how I won. But what I want to point out is this idea that when he's told his father is sick, he takes his sons. Yaakov Avinu hugs them and kisses them. And Yaakov Avinu blesses Yosef by blessing the children. And these blessings have become really timeless and eternal and represent the blessing of every Jewish parent slash Rebbe for their children slash Talmidim, intertwined with the concept of Eretz Yisrael. Because the last thing he says after he blesses the children is, Anochi meit, I am dying. V'haya Elokim imachem, I promise God will be with you. V'heishiv eschem al Eretz Avoseichem. So we have Eretz Yisrael, the oath to bury me in Eretz Yisrael, which is in Perek Mezayim, interaction between Yaakov and his grandchildren, and blessing to Yaakov, from Yaakov to his grandchildren. And now, if we look at Perek Nun, please, Pasuk Yud Dalet, okay? No, actually, let's go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. No, let's go to Pasuk Yud Beis. Sorry, I wasn't making a joke. Why are there four comments? Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayasu banav lo kein kasher tzivam. So this is Yaakov died, and his children did for him like he commanded, which was to take him up for burial in Canaan in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Vayisu osu banav arza Canaan, and his children carried him up to, his sons carried him up to the land of Canaan. And Rashi explains how when all the surrounding nations and the kings saw the great procession and all the cover that was being given to Yaakov Avinu, they came and they put their crowns on the bier, on the coffin of Yaakov as well. A tremendous cover as he is taken up for burial. Vayikbru osu b'marat stei HaMachpelah, and they buried him in the cave, in the field of Machpelah, that Avram purchased the field as a burial holding from Ephron the Chiti on the face of Mamre, Pasuk Yud Dalet. And Yosef returns to Egypt, he and his brothers, and everyone who had ascended to bury his father after they buried his father. And the brothers of Yosef see that their father died, and they say, oh no, lest Yosef will hate us, and he will return the bad, he will return to us all the bad that we did to him. And Yosef commanded Lamor, and they commanded Yosef, saying, your father commanded before his death, be nice to Yosef, forgive his sin, even though they did bad, and you should forgive their sin. And Yosef was crying. And he goes to his brothers, everyone's bowing down, we'll be servants to you, they say. And Yosef says, don't be afraid, you think I'm instead of God, you planned for bad, but God thought it was for the good, so that I could sustain you to be a great nation. Don't be afraid, I will sustain you and your offspring. And he comforted them and he spoke to their hearts. So that is the last real scenario where the brothers once again are afraid that the sale of Yosef, the way they treated him, will come back to haunt them now. And Yosef reassures them that it will not. Vayeshev Yosef b'Mitzrayim hu ubeit aviv. And Yosef dwelled. It no longer says lagur ba'aretz banu, but they are dwelling in the land of Egypt, he and his father's household. Vayechi Yosef me'a ve'esr shanim. And Yosef lived 110 years. Okay. Vayar Yosef l'Ephraim b'nei Shilshem. Yosef saw through Ephraim the third generation. Gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef. Also the sons of Machir, the son of Menashe, were born onto the knees of Yosef. I want to point out that in the first passage we looked at, it also speaks about, the Torah speaks about Yosef taking the boys from his knees. Here we go. In Perek Mem Chas Pasuk Yud Beis, you don't have to turn if it's too much turning, just listen. Perek Mem Chas Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayotze Yosef Osam Me'im Birkav. So again, we have this imagery of children, even though they weren't so young. Ephraim was always learning by Yaakov, and Menashe was helping Yosef with the business. But this imagery of parents and grandparents and children on the knees, when by Menashe and Ephraim, Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Memchas, Vayotze Yosef Oso Me'im Birkav, and he takes them out from upon Yaakov's knees. And here we have the same imagery. Vayar Yosef Ephraim, and Yosef saw through Ephraim, B'nei Shilshem, the third generation, Gam B'nei Machir, Ben Menashe, Yuldor Birkei Yosef. Beautiful. Just like, you know, you take a baby on the knee and you do Pachi Pachi or Humpty Dumpty, row, row, row your boat. So that's the imagery with which the Torah ends Sefer Bereishis here. So there's Yosef, Ephraim, Machir. No, I'm sorry. Yosef saw for Ephraim the third generation, and through Menashe, so there's Yosef, Menashe, Machir, and the children of Machir. So what the Torah is illustrating is that he sees through his children the coming, the continuity of generations. We're born upon the knees, and he sees it from both Ephraim and Menashe. So the idea of grandparents and grandchildren by Yaakov and Ephraim and Menashe, and by Yosef and his Doros, and then like Yaakov, he too promises, just like Yaakov said, Hashem will take you out. Yosef promises Hashem will take you out. Just like Yaakov asked not to be buried in the land of Egypt, Yosef asked not to be buried in the land of Egypt. Vayomer Yosef al achav, and Yosef says to his brothers, Anochi meit, I am going to die. I am dying. V'elokim pakodiv koratchem, and Hashem will surely remember you. V'ha'alat chamina aretz hazot, and he will take you up from this land to the land that he promised to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, by Yashba Yosef, from the root word Shvu'ah. So even though the oath is not binding on them, because the next week's Sedra we're going to read, Vayamas Yosef, V'chol Achav, V'chol Hadar Ha'hu, I think it's Perek Al Pasuk Vav in Shemos, Vayamas Yosef, I think, V'chol Achav, V'chol Hadar Ha'hu. So Yosef and all of his brothers died, and that generation died, but this oath becomes binding on Knesset Yisrael. And Yosef made the B'nai Yisrael take an oath, saying, Elohim will surely remember and redeem you, and he will take you. And when you do, and when you are remembered, take my bones up from here. Ayamas Yosef ben Mer ve'Esar Shanim. And Yosef died at the age of 110, and he was embalmed, and he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. So a lot of parallels between the end of the life of Yaakov and the end of the life of Yosef. I want to focus on an extremely powerful and what I think you will consider very meaningful, incredible piece by Rav Soloveitchik. You know, before I start this piece, my father, he should live and be well, who is, I mentioned his father with three children, who is a child of Holocaust survivors. My mother also, Shetich, is a child of Holocaust survivors. But something that made continues to make such an impression on me is that my father speaks about when he came over on the ship, when he was like, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years old. He was born in Czechoslovakia after the war, like so many of the first generation of survivors whose parents met. They married in the DP camps, and the first children were born in Europe. He came over on the ship, and in Toronto, there's really a community being built of Holocaust survivors. They were rebuilding their lives literally from nothing, something that it's literally impossible to fathom. I mean, totally impossible to fathom, and that's what the community was. My father went to Eitz Chaim Day School, which I went to Eitz Chaim, which is still around today. My cousin lives in Toronto, sends her children to Eitz Chaim, so it's been around for quite some time. But something that he has taught us frequently to often is that no one in the class had grandparents. They didn't even know, my father said, what grandparents were. They had no conception of what it means to be or to have grandparents. Never mind aunts and uncles. My father says there was one boy in the class who had grandparents. And it was such a pella to all the other children. They couldn't even conceive of what it means to have grandparents. And today, Baruch Hashem, our children take it for granted that Bederech Klal, there is such a thing as grandparents, without giving much thought to what the bracha is, because it's just part of their lives. And I'll tell you the truth, for me as well, I mean, my grandparents were Holocaust survivors, but they were, you know, they talk about young, old, and old, old. Three of them were married before the war with families. They were what you call old, old. Their lives were so difficult. They struggled to rebuild. Almost all of them passed away when I was very young. I even, because of their age after the war, really did not have a kesher with my grandparents either, and with most of them either. And so the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, did not only take it away from the children of the survivors, but in many cases from the grandchildren of the survivors as well. And it's only now the new generation, and Baruch Hashem, the next generation, that can really appreciate, I don't know if they could appreciate it, but the grandparents could appreciate the bracha of what it means. Yaakov says, I never even thought I would see your face. I'm not only seeing your face, filalta, fililta, I pronounced it wrong the first time. Filality. It's like a pella. It's a wonder, an astonishment. I didn't even think I was going to see your face. I'm seeing that of your children. So I want to quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvein v'Shimon Yehuli. The first thing that Yaakov says about these children is like they are my children. So he gave one pshat, is that he confers upon them the status of Shvatim. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Yaakov is frequently called the Zakein. In Torah literature, Yaakov is referred to as the Zakein, the old one. In the Torah, and in the Medrash. In fact, when the brothers come down, Yesh Lanu Av Zakein. It's an appellation. Why don't they just say Yesh Lanu Av? Who cares how old he is in needing to bring Binyamin back home? That's totally not relevant. Just say that we have a father. But the term Zakein is an appellation. Yaakov is frequently called the Zakein in the Torah and the Medrash, despite the fact that he really wasn't so old. Avram died at 175. And Yitzchak died at 180. Yaakov dies at 147. He lost 33 years of life from his father. He's really not so old. Maybe you should call Yitzchak the Zakein because he lived longer than all three patriarchs. It was 175, 180, and 147 respectively. And yet the Zakein is given, that title is given to who? Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov refused to let Binyamin return to Egypt with his brothers, Yehuda says, I want to quote it for you from Rashi, the Rav quotes from Rashi to Perek Mem Gimel Chaf, Mem Gimel Beis. So when Yaakov does not want them to take Binyamin down, and there's no food left, the Pasuk tells us, 43:2, the food finished that they brought from Egypt. This is after the 2 years when they used up the first provisions. And their father says, return and procure for us some food. So Rashi says, I'm just trying to find it for you here. One second. Yehuda Amar Lahem, says Rashi to Mem Gimel Beis, Hamtinu Lizakein Ad Shetichla Pas Min Habayis. Let's wait for the old man, not in a derogatory sense, until the food finishes in the house. Meaning, once the food finishes, he's not going to have a choice. He's going to need to send Binyamin, or we're all going to starve. Hamtinu lizakein ad shetichla pas min habayis. He is also called the avzakein. Like Yosef says, is your old father alive? In his explanation, why do we say in Shema? Okay, he now quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema. And you said Shema this morning. So we say Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Shem Echad, Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. And then after that, before we go to Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Hei, which is Vahafta, there's a little phrase, Baruch Shem Kavad Machuso Li Olam Va'ed. Where does this come from? So the Medrash records that this is a conversation between Yaakov and his children on his deathbed. It's not in the Pshat of the Pesukim. Yaakov was concerned about them going into Galus. It's a beautiful Medrash. And he was concerned that they would lose the Mesorah. So they say to him, Shema Yisrael, listen Yaakov. Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, meaning literally, Yisrael, Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's beautiful. They were reassuring Yaakov, their father. I first heard this medrash brought down many years ago. I wasn't even there in person, but I got the handouts. Rabbi Menachem Penner, Dean Reitz, gave a shir a number of years ago. And someone gave me the handouts, and this medrash is in it, and I was just so taken by it, that Yaakov was concerned his children would lose their way, they would forget God and Galus. They say to him, Shema Yisrael, as if they're talking to Yaakov, listen, Israel, that's his other name, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's where the Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso comes from, La'olam Vod, Baruch Shem, bless his name, Malchuso, his kingdom, La'olam Vod. So here we go. The Rambam, in his explanation for the source of the prayer, which opens the Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso, La'olam Vod, the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Kriya Shema, Perak Aleph Halacha Dalid, it was Yaakov's response to the brothers. The brothers say, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Yaakov responds, you have reassured me. Nechamtani, you have made me feel better. And he replies back, Baruch Shem, blessed is the name, Kivod Malchuso, the honor of his kingdom, Le'olam Va'ad. The Rambam writes, the Zakein exclaimed it. Pasach HaZakein Va'amar. Hatach or Pasach HaZakein V'amar. So he's bringing you different sources to show you that Yaakov is referred to as the Zakein. We see it in the Pshat of the Sukkim, Yesh Lanu Av Zakein. We see it in the Tarsha Baal Peh of Rashi, Hamtinu LaZakein Achaticha Ocha Min Abayis. We see it in the Rambam's codification of law. He doesn't say Yaakov Avinu says it, Pasach HaZakein V'amar. The old one initiated and said. The old one exclaimed it. Therefore, it's a custom in Israel to recite the praise which Yisrael HaZakein said after the opening verse of Shema Yisrael. So it's interesting to know the source of why we say what we say. But for purposes of today's share, what we're really focusing on is this idea that Yaakov is called the Zakein. By the way, what is Zakein an appellation for? Zesha Kana Chachma. In Parshas Kedoshim, when we are told, Mipnei Seva Takum, rise before the hoary head of an older person, Vahadarta Pnei Zakein, and show glory to the face of an elder. Zakein is Zesha Kana Chachma. Rashi and Chazal say, one who acquires wisdom. Which is why somebody, I don't know if anybody's reading the Din of Time over Hanukkah, so I'm reading slowly, a couple pages a night, the 60-page supplement to Chanukah Mishpachon, Rav Aaron Kotler's Latzal. Did anyone see it? It's incredible. You read it? Oh my gosh, I'm in the middle. It's very, very, 60 pages. It's just really unbelievable. But he was one of the youngest Rosh Yeshivas. When he was Rosh Yeshiva in Klaksk, he was only 29 years old. Yet he was considered one of the Gedolim of the time. So a Zakein doesn't only have to be someone who is old in age. A Zakein is someone who acquires the wisdom in Torah, the wisdom of Torah, despite perhaps a younger age. And here, though, we're talking about a different aspect of Zikna. So we see in the Psukim, he is Yesh Lanu Av Zakein. We see in Tarsha Baal Peh, Hamtinu LaZakein Achatich LaOcha Min Abayis. We see it in the Rambam's codification, Pasach HaZakein V'Amar. Yaakov Avinu said this. The old one exclaimed it. Therefore, it's a custom in Israel to recite the phrase, Baruch Shem, which Yisrael HaZakein said after the opening verse of Shema. The appellation Zakein, in Chazal's eyes, may even be mentioned without Yaakov Avinu's name. It is understood it's referring to Yaakov. So there's places where Zakein is used. The Rav does not bring us every place where Zakein is used, but we've seen one in Tarsha Bechtav, one in Tarsha Baal Peh, and one in the codification of Jewish Halacha. The Rav says that it may even be used Zakein without even specifying that we are referring to Yaakov. It's understood that the Zakein is Yaakov. In Talmudic and Midrashic literature, furthermore, Yaakov is also often called Yisrael Saba. Saba. Now, I know you think that Saba means grandfather, but you should just know if you learn Targum Unklos or follow Unklos, Saba in Aramaic means old one. It does not mean grandfather. Okay? Saba Bevesa Pacha Bevesa Sima Bevesa. It's from Parshas Bechukosai. Paruch of Zion. If there's an old man in the house, Erechin. If there's an old man in the house or something broken in the house, excuse me, if there's something, if there's an old woman in the house, there's a treasure in the house. You can go look it up in Perek of Zayin, Rashi quotes it, when it talks about valuation. As a man ages, his erechin decreases. As a woman ages, her erechin increases. Why? Rashi quotes, Kwari Chazal, because if you have a Saba Bevesa, if you have an old man in the house, you have something broken in the house. So Saba in Aramaic, and you'll see it in the Chumash, Saba does not mean grandfather. Saba means an old man. I'm just translating. Not trying to be Khalil a derogatory. I'm quoting Chazal. See, for example, I just turned to find you an example. So I want you to see, for your interest, so you know what I'm talking about. Turn to 44:20. If you have a chumash. If not, then you'll just listen. Okay? I just want you to see what I'm showing you. Mem Dalet Chof. It's amazing when you learn unklus, it's like a different language. So I assume for, boys who learn in yeshiva and have a grasp of Talmud, Gemara, it's probably easier, but it's cool. Just I feel like over time, over the years, not that I understand every word, but it really has been like learning another language. It's really very interesting, actually, right? So if you turn to Mem Dalet Chof, okay, this is Vayigash. It's when Yehuda steps forth to make a whole soliloquy. Okay, he's going to say Binyamin. The Amarna li Riboni, we said to our master, Ribon, to our master, Is lana Abba Sava. Do you see it? Who's looking at the Chumash? Yeah. Yis lanu, we have Abba Sava. It doesn't mean we have a grandfather. Yuda's talking. Abba's a father. Saba is what I tell you Saba means. Exactly. We have an old father. So I just want to show it to you. The Lashon HaKodesh of that is Yesh Lanu Av Zakein. So Saba, even though that's what it's Hebrew for grandfather, it's actually, you should just know, not Hebrew for grandfather. Okay? Just like Zaidi is Yiddish, Saba is Aramaic. They're both not Lashon HaKodesh. I'm just pointing it out. You should just be aware. I'm not saying to change whatever you're called. I'm not saying to start a revolution. I'm just telling you the source of the word. Okay? Yesh Lanu Av Zakein. Islana Abba Sava. Continues the Pasuk. V'yaled zukunim katan. Continues Unklus. Ubar sivitin zeir. Sivitin is zukunim. Again, Saba. He had a child in his old age. I'm just pointing it out. So Yaakov Avinu in the Tarsha Baal Peh, Tarsha Bechtav, not in that order, and halachic sources is called Zakein. He's also referred to in Talmudic and Midrashic literature as the Saba de Yisrael. Saba and Zakein are the same thing. One is Aramaic, I've just proved it to you, and the other is Lashon HaKodesh. So there's an appellation given to Yaakov that is not given to any of the other avos. So clearly it's very important. In Talmudic and Midrashic literature, interesting exercise into unklus that we just did, Yaakov is also often called Yisrael Saba, old Israel. And this term too is employed even in modern usage, says the Rav, to designate Jews who observe the old traditions. I don't know if we still use that. I don't know when this speech was made. But that's interesting. In what manner did Yaakov distinguish himself from the other patriarchs? And keep in mind how Bereshis closes. What is the final, many final, but what is one of the final messages of Bereshis? And also keep in mind we're going into Galus, where the Galus has begun already, but it's going to get bad. Okay, we're going to read Shemos next week, Sedra. And right after, Vayamas Yosef, V'chol Achav, V'chol Adarahu, Perek Al Pasuk Vav, I believe, Pasuk Zayin, Ubnei Yisrael Paro, V'yishutu, V'yirbu, V'yatsmu, B'mod Ma'ad, V'timalei Ha'aretz Osam, Pasuk Chas, V'yaka Melech Chadash, Amitzrayim, Asher Lo Yadas Yosef. Asher Lo Yadas Yosef, Rav and Shmua, Chad Amar Mamash Chadash, and Chad Amar Nischadash Gzerosav. So as soon as this whole generation dies, we go into Shibud Mitzrayim. How can we survive exile? What was Yaakov telling us is the secret to our survival? What is Eretz Yisrael? Al natik berein b'mitzrayim v'shachavti im avosai. This is not my land. That is one aspect of the secret to our survival. My grandfather said about being not only seeing so many Jews gathered at the Kota, but being in a Jewish state. Who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? So one nekuda to our survival is Eretz Yisrael. It was uttered both by Yaakov in Egypt at his deathbed and by Yosef in Egypt on his deathbed. And they both made the responsible party take an oath. It wasn't enough to say, I'll do what you said. Anochi aseh kedvarecha. What did Yaakov say to Yosef? It's not enough. Anochi aseh kedvarecha. Hishavali. You need to take an oath. You need to swear to me you will do. But there's another secret to Jewish survival. And that too is in these final passages of the book of Bereishis. In what manner, says the Rav, did Yaakov distinguish himself, that his name became the generic name for an entire people? We're not called B'nai Avram, and we're not called B'nai Yitzchak, even though they were the first and second founder of Klal Yisrael. We're called the B'nai Yisrael, after Saba Yisrael. Why? Yaakov was the first patriarch to establish direct communication with his grandchildren. Quote, Yaakov was the first patriarch to establish direct communication with his grandchildren. In fact, when he's about to die, before he blesses his children, which is in Perek Mem Tes, who does he bless first? Ephraim and Menashe and Perek Mem Ches. We don't see in the Torah text interaction between Avram and Yitzchak. No, I'm sorry. Of course we do. We don't see in the Torah text interaction between Avram and Yaakov. And we don't see in the Torah text interaction between Yitzchak and Yosef. They were also grandfather, grandson in each case. But we do not see any interaction between those generations. For the first time, something new is introduced in Vayechi. On the knees of the grandfathers rest the grandchildren. This is unprecedented in this book. The grandfather blesses the grandchildren. Yaakov Avinu, says the Rav, was the first to make a historic pronouncement. What was the historic pronouncement? Ephraim, Umenashe, Keruven, Veshimon, Yuli. They are like my children. Thereby laying the foundation for the dialogue of the generations. When we sit down on Leah HaSeder to recount the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, who should be around the table? The Doros. Halavai the Ribbono Shel Olam should bench us with the Arichus Yamim and Shonim to be at that Leah HaSeder, to be involved in such things. Yaakov Avinu literally, you know, today everyone says literally, everything is literally, like and literally. But the Rav actually uses the word literally, not like we use it today. He literally conquered time and space. And he said to Yosef, Shnei banecha hanodim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bo'i eilecha liheim. Ephraim u'menasha keruvein v'shimon yuli. He was the first to establish a direct connection and communication and relationship, at least in the Torah text, with his grandchildren. And this is a historic pronouncement that laid the foundation for the dialogue of the generations. He literally conquered time, the time gap between one generation to the next. I had something on my WhatsApp status earlier in the week, and I didn't realize I posted a video of Rav Elimelech Biderman, Rav Meilech Biderman. So I didn't realize that you could only post 30-second videos. I only usually post work things. My husband's first cousin, Rachmana Litzlan, my husband's uncle was just nifter 3 months ago, and now his first cousin just lost her husband, 14 children, 10 unmarried. So I had the tzedakah page on my WhatsApp status. If you're one of the people who gave, tisku l'mitzvah, so l'maisim tovim. So I posted a video of Rav Meilech Biderman about the importance of tzedakah, along with the page and explaining who the person was, and that I know the case personally, Rachmana Litzlan. So I didn't realize that you could only post 30-second videos on WhatsApp status. I thought you could post, it was 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It was a beautiful video, Bar of Baidach. So someone reached out to me, Esther Schneeweiss, and she said, what's the end of the video? It gets cut off. I said, it gets cut off? She said, yeah. I said, I went back and I took a wash. I said, oh, thank you so much for telling me. I didn't know you could only post a 30-second short video clip. So I said, so how do I get the whole thing there? So she said, you need to ask a 12-year-old. That's the whole point of the whole story. Usually, There is such a generation gap. So I just took it down. I just left the link to the page with the explanation of that it's a family member and the case. I didn't bother cutting the video. I don't even know how to, whatever. I just left, I took it off. But she said to me, you need to ask a 12-year-old. And I'm not so, I'm not so old yet. But still, there's a generation gap between the generations. And every generation, there's a further and further generation gap. So if there's a generation gap between parents and children, I'm young enough that I could, even though I don't have a 12-year-old child. If there's a generation gap between parents and children, there's certainly a generation gap times two between grandparents and grandchildren. And yet, Yaakov was able to bridge the gap between the generations. The years, the decades, the knowledge, the awareness, sometimes for the good, sometimes not, that represents the vast divide between grandparents and grandchildren. Yaakov was able to bridge that. This is a historic pronouncement, says the Rav, that laid the foundation for the dialogue of the generations. He literally conquered time and space. Time, the years that pass, and metaphysically, space that exists between these generations, between the Av Zakein and the Yalad Zakunim. Later, Ephraim and Manasseh received portions in the division of the Holy Land, just like the sons of Yisrael, as we explained. Though a second generation removed and nurtured in an Egyptian environment, Yaakov raised his sons in Canaan mostly, but they were by Laban, but then he comes back to Canaan. Ephraim and Manasseh were raised in the Egyptian environment. Nevertheless, Yaakov equated them with his own sons, those who had been reared close to him in the Holy Land. I think, though the Rav doesn't say it, we could derive something else very important from here. And that is that our children / grandchildren will take many diverse paths. They are their own people. Sometimes you could have children and grandchildren in the same family. You know, this type of child and this grandchild and this type of child and that grandchild. And they are so different from each other. But we have to be able to bridge the gap that spans the generations. We have to know if the child is raised in Canaan and is the Yoshev Ohalim, and the other one might be raised in Mitzrayim and has a totally different modus operandi, maybe a different dress, different levels of tzliyas. One eats Rabbanut and one eats Bedatz Mahadrin. One wears Kippah Srugah and one wears a black hat. No, I'm not making a joke. I'm actually not making a joke. I imagine this is the case in many families. Maybe not. Sometimes families are homogeneous, but sometimes you have those raised in Canaan and those raised in Egypt, and you have those that go to the modern Orthodox schools and those that go to the Rabbi Haredi schools. I'm sorry for using terms. I'm just trying to illustrate a point here. Nevertheless, Yaakov was able to bridge not only time and space, but differences in society and culture. And he brought them close, and he hugged them, and he kissed them. And he said, they are like my sons, Reuven and Shimon. And the Rav doesn't touch upon this nekuda at all, but I think especially in the day and age in which we live, when there are so many different types of children and grandchildren born to us and our families, we learn something very important. Vayagesh osam elav, Yosef brings the boys to him, vayishak lahem. He doesn't try and do kirov on them, he doesn't say maybe they should go back to Shem ve'ever. I know the drash Ephraim was the maspin bayim, but let's just look at the pshat. You have two boys who were raised in Egypt, raised in the palace. I can't imagine the newspapers in Egypt were the same as the Jewish magazine that was published in Canaan. They're exposed to different things. They're living different lives. Vayishak lahem, he kissed them. Vayichabek lahem, he hugged them. Many years ago, I don't know where the original source is from, my father shared an interesting Dvar Torah with me. In Perek Yud Ches of Bereishis, when the Malachim come to give a bracha that Sarah will have a child, what they say is in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud, Shov Ashuv Eilecha Ke'echaya, V'hini Ben L'Sara Ishtecha. I will surely return to you at this time, like there is life, this time next year. V'hini Ben, it's a proclamation, a declaration. There will be a son to Sarah, your wife. Rashi talks about the Shunamis. And Rashi says, one second. Elisha said to the Shunamis, I mean Rashi to Perek Yudches Pasuk Yud for your reference, Lamoi hazeh ka'et chaya at choveket bein. The Malachim say to Avram and Sarah, Shov ashuv eilecha ke'et chaya v'hine ben l'sar ishtecha. That's a very statement, dry statement of fact. I will surely return to you at this time, like there will be life next year. There will be a son to Sarah, your wife. Rashi quotes the story of Elisha and the Shunamis, and Elisha says to the Shunamis, La Moed Hazeh, at a disappointed time, Ka'eh Chaya, at a time where there will be life, At Choveket Bein, you will be hugging a son. They were both proclaiming that there will be a child, but the angels say, V'hine Ben. Elisha says, Choveket Ben. Only a human being can know what it means to hug a child. An angel can say, there will be a child. It is part of the human experience to hug a child. The angels couldn't say that. They don't understand the experience of Vayichabek Lahem. At the end of his life, Yaakov does not say, you should have sent him to Beis Yaakov. Yaakov says, wow, these are my grandchildren. And he hugs them and he kisses them. Sometimes it's hard. I was speaking a little while ago to a parent whose child is in a yeshiva that is not her family's hashkafa. She said, it's difficult. Sometimes the child goes to Minyan in pajamas, she said. I said, be happy he's going to Minyan. He's not living your life. You need to love and hug your children however they are. Me, Ela. Yaakov says, first, who are these? And Yosef says, they're my children. Look at what I'm telling you. Perek Memchas Pasukhas. Perek Memchas Pasukhas. Oh my gosh, why is it 10:22? I have not learned how to what did he do? I have not learned how to conquer time and space. Perek Memchas Pasukhas. Oh my gosh. I'm going to put in now what I said in the beginning of Shir. I said, we're going to start with the Rav and move to Rabbi Sachs. Bli Nader. Vaya Yisrael Spinei Yosef. Israel sees the sons of Yosef. I thought of this insight a few years ago. Israel sees these children of Yosef. Remember, Yosef hears that his father's sick, and he brings the children to see his father. And actually, the first thing he says, Keruven v'Shimon. Then he's awed. It's a little bit out of order, but what I want to point out is that he says, who are these? Maybe he's saying, why are they wearing jeans and I wear black pants? Why do they have a short haircut and I have long payas? Why did I go to Shem Ve'Eva and they went to Talmud Torah? I'm not saying Yaakov's sons, please use your seichel, wore jeans or went to Talmud Torah. You understand? Mi Ela, who are these? So Yosef says, Banayim, they are my children. Not only are they my children, Asher Nasan Li Elokim Bazeh. This is how God gave them to me. Take them, Father. No, and then Father says, okay, bring them close to me. I will bless them. And then he hugs them and he kisses them. And that, too, is to conquer time and space. Because our children come in many shapes and forms and styles, and we do our best to impart our hashkafa and our way of life and our mesorah. But Yaakov was able to hug and kiss and love and bless the children born in Egypt, who were certainly different than the children born in Canaan. Avram and Yitzchak, I'm going to try and finish the Rav. Avram and Yitzchak transmitted their spiritual heritage to their sons, but not to their grandsons. Avram gave it to Yitzchak, Yitzchak gave it to Yaakov, but Yaakov gave it to the next door. The latter received it from their fathers, but there was no direct connection or communication between Avram and Yaakov, or between Yitzchak and Reuven and Shimon. The influence of the grandfathers on their grandchildren was indirect. Yaakov, however, directly related to his grandchildren. He did not need an intermediary or an interpreter. He was a direct dialogue. Yaakov the Zakein leaped over the gulf of generations and transmitted the great Mesorah directly to Ephraim and Manasseh. Yaakov was the first to impart special blessings to his grandchildren. It's very hard to make children appreciate grandparents today because I'm not saying they don't love their grandparents, but to really appreciate the matana of what a grandparent is because it's so part of their lives, it's very hard for them to understand what a huge bracha it is. I think the grandparents, especially in light of the way we're looking at the end of Bereishis today, I think the grandparents understand it more than the grandchildren who take it for granted. Hamalach Hagolo Simi Kara, he blessed them even before, says the Rav. He assembled his own sons, which is in Perek Mantes, for their blessings. He embraced them between his knees. In both passages we looked at, I showed you. They're upon Yaakov's knees, and at the end of the Sedra, the grandchildren and great-grandchildren are upon Yosef's knees. And he placed his hands upon their head, symbolically signifying there's a direct transmission from Yaakov to Ephraim and Manasseh, grandfather to grandson. There was no generation gap in the house of Yaakov. And remember I said, what do we learn from the end of Bereishis, which is many, many, many infinite things. But one of the things we learn is what is the secret to our survival. That's why I prefaced this piece before we started the Rav. So one secret to our survival is clearly Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov says it, and Yosef says it. You have to know where you belong, you have to know your land. But another secret, because Yaakov knew that this is Galus. Another secret to our survival is ensuring the continuity between the Doros. Not only parents to children. When Paro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, mi v'mi ha-holchim, you want to go have a yantif in the desert for 3 days, l'chuna ha-gvarim, just take the men. That's who's ragil. That's who's usual to go and make karbanos. And Moshe Rabbeinu famously says, b'ni'ureinu u'vizikneinu ne'lech, b'baneinu u'vivnoseinu, ki chag la-Hashem lanu. We will only go with the youth and the elders if they are all there, with our sons and our daughters. We must have Klai, so there is no Chag LaHashem if it's not Ni'ureinu along with Zikneinu. The halachic ruling, which is brought down in Yevamos 62b, B'nei Banim Heim Kibanim, grandchildren, B'nei Banim, sons of sons, Heim Kibanim, is derived from Yaakov's declaration about Ephraim and Manasseh. How appropriate, therefore, says the Rav, that our people are called Israel / Yaakov. We are B'nai Yisrael, we have Torah Yisrael, and we have Eretz Yisrael. Not after Avram and not after Yitzchak. They were the founders, they were visionaries, they were over the Hashem par excellence. But Yaakov introduces us something brand new. It is Yaakov who created the community which ensures Jewish continuity. It is Yaakov who created the community which ensures Jewish continuity. What preceded Yaakov, three more sentences, what preceded Yaakov were patriarchal families, patriarch, father, son. But Yaakov laid the foundation for a nation, for a people, the Yidgul Arov, and now I think we could really apply the insight that I'm offering to you. You have to stick together. You have to be in a school. But the koach comes from learning from the past, transmitting to the future. And then we have the great achdus of the assembly of Klal Yisrael. Though the covenant was initially made with Avraham, it was not until Yaakov that the secret of perpetuating the Mesorah was discovered. Mi v'mi ha-holchim b'ne'ureinu u'vizikneinu ne'leich. And so how does the Chumash end? Vayar Yosef la'Ephraim b'nei Sheol Shem. Like Yaakov to his grandchildren, Yosef saw through Ephraim 3 generations. Gam b'nei Machir ben Manasseh. Furthermore, Yosef, Manasseh, Machir, and his children. You'll do a Birkei Yosef. Birkei, which we see two times in both interactions between grandfather and grandson, Yaakov to his grandsons, Yosef to his, you see knees. But it's the same shoresh as Beirach. It's to bless. If you're fortunate to have grandchildren upon your knees, Baruch Ata Hashem. Who would have thought I would ever live to see this in my lifetime? Ayomer Yosef, Alachav Anochi Mei, Alokim Pakod Yivkod Etchem, Ve'ala Etchem Min Ha'aretz Hazot, Ala Aretz Ar Nishba, Asher Nishba La'Avram, Li'Yitzchak U'Li'Yakov. Ayash Ba'Yosef, Ebenei Yisrael, Leimer, Pakod Yivkod Alokim Etchem, Ve'alitam Et Atmosayim Yizah, Ayama Yosef, Ve'in Mei Ve'Esor Shanim, Ve'yichan Tu Oto, Ve'yisem Ba'arim Be'Mitzrayim, Chazak, Chazak, Ve'nit Chazek. May we be strong. And may we be strengthened. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all.